Community Radio from Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain.
Peter Jones, and you are indeed listening to Tell Us a Tale, where Jen Hoffman and I are going to share a few Native American tales with you in this half hour, starting with one from the Skeedy Pawnee of Nebraska called The Mud Pony, adapted by Karen Lee Cohen, and that's published by Scholastic.
Once a poor boy in an Indian camp who would watch by the creek as the other boys watered their ponies. More than anything, he longed for a pony of his own. So at last, the boy crossed the creek, dug the wet earth, and shaped a pony out of mud. He gave it a white clay face. He loved his mud pony. Every day he went to it and took care of it as if it were real. One day, while the boy was with his mud pony, scouts rode into camp.
"We've sighted buffalo several days' journey west."
The people broke camp, for they would starve in the months ahead if they didn't hunt the buffalo. The boy's parents looked everywhere, but they couldn't find him. Finally, they had to leave without him. When the boy got back to camp, he saw that everyone was gone.
My people, I'll never find you. I'm all alone.
He wandered, heartsick and hungry, around the empty camp, picking up scraps of dried meat and a tattered old blanket someone had thrown away. He ate, then huddled up in the blanket and cried himself to sleep. As he slept, he dreamt his mud pony was alive and spoke to him. My son, you are not alone. Mother Earth has given me to you. I am part of her. When the boy woke at daybreak in the empty camp, he cried for his people. Then he went to his mud pony and could hardly believe his eyes. The white-faced pony was alive, tossing her mane and pawing the ground. She spoke like the pony in his dream. My son, you are not alone. Mother Earth has given me to you. I am part of her. You must do as I say. And someday, you will be a chief among your people. They are far away. Get on my back, and I will take you to them. But do not try to guide me, for I know where to go. For 3 days, they journeyed over the plains. The boy was worn and hungry, but he would not give up. He let the pony guide him. Then, at the third nightfall, the boy saw smoke curling up from teepees in a camp. They had reached his people. Go and find your parents, but leave them before dawn. It is not time yet for the others to see you. I will be waiting in the hills. Now, cover me with the blanket to protect me from the rain, for I am part of Mother Earth. The boy went into the camp. He wandered among the teepees until he found the smallest one. He went in and threw dried grass into the fire so a blaze went up. In the fire's light, he saw his mother and woke her.
Here I am.
She touched him and tears came into her eyes. Then his father woke and marveled at how the boy had found them when they had gone so far away. Before dawn, the boy told his parents,
I must go now, on my own.
He left them, but from the hills he turned and watched as the people broke camp to continue on their way to the buffalo. At last, they disappeared. For 3 more days, the boy and the pony journeyed over the plains. The boy was weary and had no food at all, but he kept on going. Finally, at the third nightfall, he saw a camp in the distance.
There are your people. It is time that you join them. Ride me into the camp.
The boy did, and all the people came out of their teepees, astonished to see him. A war chief invited him into a big teepee. There was soup and dried meat and 2 buffalo horn spoons in a wooden bowl. They ate together.
Nawatiki, You have journeyed over strange land, starving and alone, and yet you found us. You have a gift, a great power, and now you must help our people. An enemy has attacked us on our way west, killing men, keeping us from reaching the buffalo. At daybreak, you must join us in battle.
The boy considered what the chief had said, and when he left the teepee, he trembled. But the pony spoke to him.
My son, do not be afraid, for I am part of Mother Earth, and the enemy's arrows can never pierce the earth. Put earth all over your body, and you will not be hurt.
At daybreak, he covered his body with earth and rode the pony straight into the fight. There was a fierce battle, but he led his people to victory. At last, the people were free for the hunt, and the boy on the white-faced pony showed the way, capturing more buffalo than any of the grown men. Years passed, and always the boy let his pony guide him. Always he was a powerful leader. Finally, he was made a chief. As chief, he had a corral full of fine horses, but the white-faced pony was his great gift. He tied many eagle feathers into her mane and tail, and every nightfall he carefully covered her with a blanket to protect her from rain. Then one night, while he slept, the pony came to him in a dream.
My son, now you are a chief among your people. A chief with the power of Mother Earth. It is Mother Earth who gives you the power, and not I. I am a part of her, and it is time that I go back to her. You must let me go.
The chief got up in the dark and went to his pony. She pawed the ground and tossed her mane in the wind.
Take my blanket.
And he did. Then he went to his teepee. Just before daybreak, he woke to shrill winds and rushing rain. He ran to his corral and looked everywhere for his white-faced pony. He couldn't find her. Then, as the morning light broke over the wet earth, the chief saw a patch of white clay, and through the wind, he heard a voice.
I am here, your Mother Earth. You are not alone.
Background of that story was music off R. Carlos Nakai's album Desert Dance. You're listening to Tell Us a Tale.
This is Bird Note. For some birds, having the best nest is a key part of attracting a mate. Males of many weaver bird species construct a series of intricately woven nests with which to lure a prospective partner. If a female is dissatisfied with it, though, She doesn't just move on. She tears the nest apart, as if to show her disdain. A male red-winged blackbird can even attract multiple mates if he controls a prime breeding territory, where nests can be built over the water, making them less accessible to predators like raccoons. Adélie penguins construct their nests on mounds of stones, which help guard against flooding, and partners often exchange stone gifts during the course of construction. Unfortunately, stones can be in short supply, which leads to skirmishes within the nesting colony, as stones are stolen and fiercely guarded. No stone, one might say, left unturned. For Bird Note, I'm Wenfei Tong.
For our next Native American tale, we're going to share with you a Cree legend from the northern U.S. called Rabbit and the Moon, adapted by Douglas Wood, and that's published by Simon and Schuster. Once, long ago, in the morning of the world, there was a rabbit. He was like most other rabbits, except for one thing. He had a dream. It was the sort of dream that will not go away, that is there when you're asleep and awake, and tugs at you even when you're trying to think of something else. The dream that tugged at Rabbit, tugged so hard that it made his ears wiggle and his nose twitch, was the dream of riding upon the moon at night, far above the earth. Rabbit had always known the earth from very near. His nose knew the scents of leaves and mushrooms and fresh green grass. His ears knew the sounds of brother mouse rustling and crickets singing. But Rabbit's eyes longed to see the earth from high above, to see the darkness of the forest and the sparkling of the waters. Rabbit had always known the moon from far away. It drew close only in the reflecting pool where he drank at night. He longed to see how bright it truly was, and how it slipped past the stars as it crossed the sky. It would be the grandest thing he could imagine, to ride the shining moon among the stars, and to see the beauty of the earth below. So Rabbit watched the moon. He watched it when it dangled like a bear's claw over the spruces, watched it when it shone with only half its light like a mushroom cap, and watched it when it hung as round and full as old porcupine's belly. He watched it rise up in the evening over the eastern edge of the world. He watched as the moon climbed above him and moved across the night sky. Rabbit watched the moon until the sun filled the sky with light and he could see the moon no longer. And Rabbit thought to himself,
If I go to the edge of the world where the moon first comes up, I'll be able to catch a hold of it as it rises.
So Rabbit went to the place where he had seen the moon come up, and when it began to rise, big and round and yellow, Rabbit reached out to catch it. He couldn't reach it. He jumped as high as he could jump, and still he could not reach it. But Rabbit did not give up.
Tomorrow night, I'll climb to the top of the highest hill. Surely I'll be able to reach the moon from there.
And so the next evening, Rabbit waited on top of the highest hill that he could find. And as the moon began to rise, he stretched out to touch it. It was too far away. He jumped and jumped. The moon rose higher still, and Rabbit could not reach it. But Rabbit did not give up.
The only way I'm going to reach the moon is to fly there.
Now, in those long ago times, rabbits were not very good flyers. So the next morning, Rabbit went to the biggest flying bird he could find and said,
Sister Eagle, I'd like to ride on the moon, but I cannot reach it. Will you take me there?
No, I cannot take you to the moon? It is too far, and I am too busy.
And so Rabbit found the red-tailed hawk.
Brother Hawk, could you carry me to the moon?
No, I have more important things to do. I cannot take you.
Rabbit went to Owl and Snow Goose, to Heron and Osprey and Pelican. But none of the great birds would carry him to the moon. Still, Rabbit did not give up. Instead, he went to the small birds, Chickadee and Nuthatch and Song Sparrow, Brown Creeper and Kinglet, and all the tiny birds of the forest. Perhaps together they could carry him to the moon. But the small birds only laughed.
We cannot take you to the moon. You are too big, and the moon is too far away.
Rabbit went away by himself and sat very still. His ears drooped. His nose barely twitched at all. As hard as he had tried, he could not find a way to reach the moon. For the first time, he was ready to give up. Then Rabbit heard a voice behind him say,
I will carry you to the moon, Rabbit.
Rabbit jumped with surprise. He turned around and saw that there was one great flying bird that he had forgotten to ask, Crane. Crane had noticed how hard Rabbit had tried to reach his dream, how bravely he had struggled. Crane remembered her own dream of learning to fly and how others had helped her, and so she decided to help Rabbit.
Meet me tomorrow on top of the high hill, Rabbit, and I will fly you to the moon.
The next day, Rabbit was so excited that he was waiting on top of the hill by noontime. He waited and waited as the sun moved slowly across the sky. Finally, just as the sun slipped down in the west and the moon rose in the east, Crane swept in on her great wings.
Hold tight to my legs, Rabbit, and I will carry you to the moon.
Rabbit held on as tightly as he could, and Crane began to rise into the sky. Rabbit was heavy, and it was hard for Crane to carry him. But she flapped her great wings, and slowly they climbed higher and higher. Once Rabbit looked down at the earth, now small and far away. He felt a lump in his throat. He closed his eyes and held on even tighter. Rabbit's paws hurt. It was hard to hold on, but Rabbit did not give up. Finally, Rabbit felt something under his hind feet.
It's all right, Rabbit. We are on the moon. You can let go of my legs now.
Slowly, Rabbit let go. His paws were stiff and sore and tinged red with blood. But as he opened his eyes wide and began to look around, he forgot how sore his paws were. For what Rabbit saw was even more grand than what he had ever dreamed. The stars glowed like fireflies in a summer meadow, so close he could almost touch them. And he could see all the earth below, green and blue and beautiful, with white clouds billowing in the skies and great waters cradling the land. Rabbit filled up his eyes with the beauty of the earth and tried hard to keep his ears from trembling.
Thank you, Sister Crane.
And then Rabbit reached out his paw and placed it gently on Crane's head.
This is my gift to you. From now on, you will always wear a bright red headdress.
And so it was. Under Rabbit's paw, Crane's forehead became stained with red. Then Crane noticed she felt a little strange. Her head did not hurt. Her stomach felt good. Her wings still worked. But her legs. Before her journey to the moon, Crane's legs were like those of all the other birds, just the right size to carry her about. But now Crane's legs were long and thin, stretched out from carrying Rabbit to the moon. And so it is today. Crane still walks on stretched out legs, much longer than the legs of other birds. She is tall and proud, and she still wears that bright red headdress. And Rabbit? Well, some night, when the moon is round and full like old Porcupine's belly, look very closely, for for you can still see Rabbit there, riding across the night sky on the moon.
I see the moon, and the moon sees me, and the moon sees the one that I long to see. So God bless the moon, and God bless me, and God bless the one that I long to see. It seems to me that God above created you for me to love. He picked you out of all the rest because he knew I loved you best. I once had a heart called mine, you see, but now it's gone to you from me. So take good care as I have done, for you have two and I have none. I see the moon and the moon sees me, and the moon sees the one that I long to see. So God bless the moon, and God bless me, and God bless the one that I long to see.
Off Greg Brown's album Bathtub Blues, that was the traditional tune, I See the Moon. Well, in honor of that clever young rabbit, we're going to close out this half hour with a tune from Dango Rose called Rabbit and Otter. So we'll see you again soon, right here on Tell Us a Tale.
Tricks in the forest, rabbit tricks Otter by throwing fire in the sky. Otter jumps in the river while rabbit steals his coat. The dance for Otter's beauty is now rabbit's cheap disguise. At the dance, the bear smells mischief, so he grabs the paw, covering the otter's nose. Noticing the split that's accustomed to the rabbit, he yells imposter. Now rabbit's cover is blown. Says you may be on to me, but I still trick the otter, he can have his fur. I'm the rabbit, you see, and I'll have my way. My tricks carry me through the break of day. That's all right, said all the forest creatures. A trickster you are, your ways will never change. Just remember, you'll never be trusted. All your stories are just a foolish life. I'll enjoy the ride. This game's my dream, with laughter in my stomach and a trick up my sleeve. Believe me when I tell you, life is a trickster's dream.